Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. So, you know, you thought we always do that in one take. Fooled you. So, 6 weeks ago, we began a series that we are wrapping up today, U 2.0. And, you know, the very first weekend of this series, one of the things I said to you was that my hope and my prayer for this series is that it would be a catalyst for many of you. That it would sort of spark you, that it would awaken you, push you. For some of you, that it would shove you in a way that would wake you up and that would alert you to what God has for you in life. And, you know, if anything, the theme that has just been coming up over and over and over again is that really it's about taking a step. Not necessarily taking 15 steps, not necessarily taking 50, but taking a step. And it's part of the reason that throughout this series, we've been sharing stories, whether it's been in some films or stories I've read about people who have taken steps, who have taken bold, courageous steps in their lives. Well, today, what I want to do, as we wrap up this series, I want you guys to meet a few people who have taken what I would say are U 2.0 steps in their lives. And they are people from right here in the Orchard community. And one of the things I think, and part of the reason I think this is so good for us and so important for us, is because I think sometimes hearing stories of people and where they're at in a very honest way, in a very authentic way, I think helps us with some of those myths and some of those, I don't know what we'd call them, maybe stories that we tend to tell ourselves that oftentimes end up getting us quite stuck. And so I'm excited for you to meet these folks. If you've been around at the Orchard for any length of time, these are going to be familiar faces to you. If you haven't, well, you are about to meet some pretty incredible people. So, Orchard, would you give a warm, warm welcome to Tony, Laura, Joy, Tammy, Rick, and Tom? Come on. Coming up, guys. We pretty much have set our stairs up so that they're dangerous. Yes, we have. Well, you guys, thank you. First of all, thank you for being up here and for taking time and all three services. So we really have it down well now, don't we? After the third time. That's right. So let me begin, though, by just introducing you guys real quick for those people who may not know you. I want to begin. Let me start with these guys right here to my left, Rick and Tammy Helfrich. You guys have been at the Orchard for about 6 years. You have three kids and two kids. Did I say that last night, too? I did, didn't I? Doggone it. Well, I have three, and I just want you to feel that. Yeah, okay. You Tammy has three. Is Rick one of them, right? Rick, you are an operations manager at a lawn care company. You oversee the day-to-day operations at a handful of locations. Tammy, you work for a Fortune 500 company. Work with customers to develop new processes and solutions. Also very involved in leading here at the Orchard. You help lead our welcome teams. Wow, come on, jeez. Woo. Yeah, apparently four people serve on those. And you help organize, gosh, like our greatest event of the year, I think, is our barbecue and baptism. So always awesome. To my right here, Tony and Laura Burton, been at the Orchard for about 4 years, married 14. And hey, this is a really cool little tidbit of information here. Tony, just recently, how long ago? 4 weeks ago, retired after 40 years at Caterpillar. Yeah, isn't that awesome? And he's a father of three, stepfather to four. Laura has four kids as well, both super involved here at the Orchard. 10 grandkids, by the way. That's wild. That's awesome. That was like, the people don't know to be happy or sad for you. They're like, anyway, to my left here on the couch, Joy Thomas. Joy is the how do I say this? I was going to say better half, but I won't say that. I'll just say the spouse of, wife of our creative arts director, Ben Thomas. And you guys have been to the Orchard here for about a year, and Joy is awesome. I can't wait for you guys to get a chance to meet her. She, I mean, she's really the reason we hired Ben. Don't tell him, okay? And, of course, Joy is a mother to two beautiful daughters. She's a writer. She has a blog. We'll talk more about that. And she loves building community with other moms, and she's doing a great job at that. And last but not least, down at the very end, the first shall be last, the last shall be first, whatever, right? You are Tom Reber. And Tom is a great part of our community, been here about 4 years, married to his beautiful wife, Chris, 3 children, all adopted, and wow, what a journey that's been. Some of you guys might remember, we did a short film, sharing their story, and in 2004, Tom started a contracting company. Really built it up well, watched it grow, and in the past few years, Tom, as you're going to hear in a couple minutes, really began to sense God was wanting to do more in him and through him, and so we'll hear more about that in just a few minutes. But here's the deal, Orchard. Sitting on the stage right here is a group of people who all have very different stories, different backgrounds, different passions. Who are all at different places in their spiritual journey, and yet have at least one big thing in common, and that is that they have all taken a step in their lives to make a difference. They've taken a step that is making a difference. Well, first of all, it's making a difference in their lives, and in some cases, making a difference in many other people's lives, and you'll hear about that more in a second, but some of them are further along in the journey. Some of them are still. If we talk about how scary it is, they may say, "Forget it. It's pretty fresh." No, but they're committed, and they have taken a real courageous and faith-filled step that's not easy to take. And so I'm excited for you to get to know them and hear their stories. What I want to do, let me start by just having you guys take about a minute or two each, and I want you just to share some of the steps you've taken, and then we'll dive more into those in a few minutes, okay? And I want to start with you guys, Tony and Laura. And, I mean, you guys are awesome. I love you guys, and it's been awesome to watch this journey. But, Tony, why don't you share with us this crazy step?
Well, just recently, besides retiring, my wife and I, we moved from our townhome in Oswego. We took our couch, car, clothes, and our little puppy and moved to the east side of Aurora, where we're volunteering full-time with Triple Threat, and we're going to attempt a missions group over on the east side of Aurora, trying to get the trust back, because a generation ago, when I lived on the east side of Aurora, it was a much different town, much different neighbors. Everybody got along with everybody. And now in this neighborhood, the first couple of weeks in this neighborhood, we noticed that when we'd be out walking, we'd see people, and we'd look them directly in the eye, and we'd speak to them, and they would look at us in surprise, like, oh, you're going to speak to me. And yeah. It's kind of a different thing, so we want to go back to like 40 years ago where everybody got along with everybody and everybody trusted each other, and not everybody just stayed in their own little house on their own little island.
So you guys, that's awesome. And you guys been there how long now?
About 4 weeks.
4 weeks. And you guys are where at? What street are you on?
212 South 4th Street, the big greenhouse.
Yep. And that's kind of the hood, man.
It is definitely the hood.
Wow.
Definitely the hood. But it's the cool hood.
I mean, I don't know. Oswego is much safer, right? You guys.
It's 15 minutes away, but it's like being in another world in some ways.
Wow. Wow. Well, we'll talk more about that in a second. You guys are taking some big steps. Let me switch over here to Tammy. Why don't you share a little bit about what you've been up to? It's been a cool journey as well for me to watch.
So I have been in the business world my entire career and been pretty successful. But the last couple of years I've been feeling God asking me to make some changes. And it's pretty frightening for those of us who like to control things and think that we need to plan out our whole life and our whole career.
So I don't think any of them can even relate to that.
It's probably
mostly,
not. It's
mostly
just
us here.
It's all me. And I haven't been sure what it is or what those steps have been. And it's been really frustrating. I have just not known. I just continue to feel God asking me to do something different. So one of the things that I started doing was blogging. I had a friend who had been blogging who was very inspirational, and one of the things that people have told me is that I can be pretty encouraging, and I thought, well, maybe I can actually be encouraging to some other people. Maybe what I have to say...
Time out. Total encourager. If you guys, those of you who know Tammy, isn't she? Total encourager. Yeah.
But I guess the biggest thing is that I realized I had stopped dreaming. I didn't think I was creative. I didn't think that my voice mattered. I didn't think that I had anything important to say. And God's really helped change my perspective on that.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things Tammy did too, this just shows her heart as an encourager, is unbeknownst to the staff, she started gathering a group of people together to start praying for our staff and our leadership. And one day, she showed up at one of our staff meetings, and she said, hey, I got a little video here I want you to see. And she put that thing in. It had all these people on there. Many of you were on there talking about how much you loved us and were praying for us. And, man, holy smokes, it was one of the most powerful moments. And, I mean, when we say that, like, how much we value your prayers, that's not an understatement at all. I mean, that is the truth. And I just love, Tammy, that you harnessed your abilities that you have to encourage and to gather people to do that. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of our team very much for that. Rick, so Rick, you've really kind of gotten to know you here over these last few months, last year or so, and man, you've been taking some great steps in your life. I mean, at a time when I think a lot of people start settling in and getting comfortable, you've taken some great steps spiritually in your life. You also have taken some great steps physically. Tell us about that.
Yeah, speaking of settling in, I was there. I recently made the decision to begin competing in mountain bike races. Scary step at this point in my life.
Wait, how old you're 30? What, Rick?
27. Tammy's boy toy.
Yeah.
I'm 43.
You're 43. Okay, 43. And you did what?
I'm racing mountain bikes.
Wow. I mean, he just decided to do this. How many of you at 43 deciding to do this? That's pretty awesome, man.
Oh, is that me again? It was a big step. I had had a Facebook conversation with a friend of mine who has been riding racing bikes most of his life, and he just really encouraged me to take that step. And just, yeah. It was, after all of about 10 seconds of doing some reading about this race that he wanted me to get into, I just...
Yeah, tell us about that. What's it called?
The Iceman Cometh Challenge.
Okay, that's scary. I don't know who the Iceman is, but I don't want him to cometh, all right? The ice...
It's actually the old man
white. It's good you couldn't hear that. So tell us about this Iceman Cometh. I mean, it sounds like some horrible End Times movie about the...
Well,
anyway.
I'm hoping that's not the case. It's a 29-mile mountain bike race from Kalkaska, Michigan to Traverse City. And they race through... it's basically a road race on dirt. They race through forest preserves.
Oh, easy.
And the Nordic ski trails in northern Michigan. So,
wow.
And it's held the first weekend in November and in all conditions. And it's been 19 degrees and snowing and 60 degrees and raining. So it'll be interesting to see what it's like this year.
Wow. I say we hook on one of those little cameras and take some video of it. It'd be cool. We'll go ahead and pass the mic down here to Joy. So, Joy, tell us about you. A lot of you may not know this. Joy has a physical condition that a lot of people don't know about, and it's been a real, in some ways, a blessing and a curse, right? I mean, it's been, God has used this now. But tell us about that condition and describe it for us a little bit and steps you've taken.
Well, I have something, an eye condition called retinitis pigmentosa, kind of a mouthful, so we call it RP. And it was something I was diagnosed with when I was 5. It's a degenerative eye condition that, you have night blindness, loss of peripheral vision. And so, I don't know, some people call it tunnel vision. I like to refer to it as puzzle vision, just because it's kind of like pieces are missing, like blind spots. And so it's kind of like looking through a little straw. So I could see, you know, regular print and normal things through that straw. But there's this whole piece that's missing, peripherally. And then there's some that comes back over here. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But and it you know, so it affects things like driving and playing sports and sometimes walking.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, and it really, I mean, it's sometimes walking.
Pushing strollers into people.
You have recently chosen, made some decisions in your life to, I guess in some ways, embrace this. And I know there's still hope. You have hope for this to improve. But you've chosen to embrace it. And that has really made a difference, I think. And, I mean, it's a pretty new journey for you, that part of it, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, honestly, in the past, I would have had, you know, would rather have people think that I am, you know, drunk or completely airheaded running into things than visually impaired. Like, I just, it was just kind of a piece of myself that I didn't want to, you know, I saw it as weakness and didn't want to, I guess, embrace or admit that was part of me.
Yeah, I think that man, many of us can relate in different ways of our pain or our weakness. And, man, I think so many of us try to hide that and try to, I don't know, almost deny it, but if you'll let God use that, sometimes he can use our weakness and our failures and for in greater ways than he can even use our success. And that's really good news, I think, for all of us because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I feel like I have more failures and weaknesses than I do strengths and success. And to know God can use those, if we let him, is a huge thing. We'll hear more from Joy in just a second. Let's jump over here to Tom. Tom, you've been on a crazy journey. You adopted three children, and man, that journey for you guys was tough. But man, the resilience that you guys had, and the story, the stories I should say, of going to Haiti and adopting. I forgot his name. What's his name? Tiga, okay, Tiga, yeah, and the, man, just the inspiring story behind that, and what that's done in you. Now you've started an organization or, I don't know if that's the right word for it, a movement, a conversation, tell us about it, Motor.
Yeah, Motor is a term that I picked up through years as a football coach, and it's a badge of honor for somebody who brings an uncommon effort to their craft or skill or business or whatever they do, and example right here would be Tony, 40 years in a job, clocking in faithfully. That's a motor. That's an uncommon effort. Mm. That's something that's admirable. And the single mom that's out there that's doing laundry, packing lunches, and then opening her chemistry book to finish her degree. And there's motor all around us. And through a series of conversations, I got just seeing that and then also growing tired of running a business and seeing this entitlement mentality that people were coming to us with and wanting promotions before they put the work in. And I got fed up with it and I started Motor. I got fed up, scratched my own itch and decided to start a business. And I didn't know what the business would do, but I started one.
Yeah, you weren't sure what you were doing, but you had this idea. And we'll talk about that in a second. I want to start by talking about the step, because there's always a first step, right? And I think sometimes that first step, well, the first step is, I think, probably the hardest step. I think it probably is where so many of us get stuck, and we struggle so much, which I think happens sometimes because of how we think things are supposed to look, or how things are supposed to feel when we do take that step. It's almost like, for whatever reason, we tend to think that people who take these great steps of faith in their life had a certain level of certainty or assurance or guarantee or whatever, you know, maybe this, like a really slick marketing plan or business plan or whatever it might be. Or we think that these steps we're supposed to take in our lives are supposed to be these huge world-changing steps that seem so overwhelming that it's like we don't even try. We tell ourselves all kinds of different stories that I think really discourage us and keep a lot of people from taking steps. So one thing I want to just ask for the record, how many of you, before you took this step that you've taken, had a perfect plan in place before you took it? How many of you? Just go ahead and raise your hand real high, you guys. Yeah, exactly. Tom, one of the things you said that I loved, and I've heard you say this before, is kind of as you had this idea, you didn't know where to go with it, what exactly you were going to do, and what I've heard from you constantly say is, you know, as we're finding our way, it's like this thing has sort of evolved. As you've taken one step and stayed with that, then another door or opportunity opened. How did Motor start? I mean, what did you do? What was the first thing you guys did with Motor?
Yeah, like I said, I wanted to get rid of this entitlement mentality that is so prevalent in the world and bring honor to people that are motoring. So I had a cup of coffee with Adam Mock. That was one of the first things I did. And
Adam Mock.
There he is right there. He's the guy who woke up in the middle of the night and sketched this on a napkin next to his bed. And
go ahead and show that.
And it's about going against the grain. It's about plowing through your obstacles, slicing through average and ordinary, and having your breakthrough on the other end. That's really what it significant. What's the word? I can't say that word. Signifies. Thank you. And so the first thing was we just started something, and it started as an apparel business.
Say it again.
It started as an apparel business to change a mindset of people.
T-shirts. Right? I mean, it's like you have this idea.
Yeah.
You didn't really even have an audience at that point, right? It was like, let's just, I mean, maybe your family. And
my wife.
And your wife. And, yeah, exactly. And so you
and
started.
Adam knew about it.
And Adam.
So that was good.
Adam had to buy a t-shirt because he made the logo.
We gave him one.
Oh, okay. You gave me
actually,
one, too.
Actually, these two bought my first t-shirt.
Did they really?
Right.
Oh, that's
yes,
awesome.
Did, so.
That's awesome. So you started as an apparel brand, and tell us where that's gone to this point.
As you said earlier, I had a contracting business and built it and pretty successful, but I wasn't real happy. I felt that I wasn't myself anymore and that there was more that I had to offer, and I really wanted to change the mindset of the world, of the workplace, of our youth. And show them.
You were down, man. You were a little bit in the pits. I remember that. I mean, you were definitely feeling like you were missing something. Mm-hmm. And I remember us talking about that. And
yeah,
so
it's been a long journey.
So you took some steps and
through several conversations over the last year or so, and opportunities that have popped up. Motor has evolved to not only selling apparel, but I do leadership and business coaching now to help organizations be uncommon and to motor against average performance. And as a result of that, in the last few weeks, I sold my company.
Yeah, crazy, man.
Yeah, I can't believe it, because our first payday without me getting that check was this past week.
Wow.
And that's when it really hit home. Like,
wow.
Holy buckets.
I know. Well, I called Tom, and I'm like, hey, man, can you share a little bit? And he's like, yeah, well, let me just tell you, though, what I just recently did. And I think on the phone I must have said, like, you are crazy, like at least 8 times, right? But it was in a good way. Like, you're crazy, man, but I love this. Like, this is great.
Very good.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
brought a life back into me. I feel like I'm myself again. I'm a little lighter around the house.
Yeah,
And it feels good to be alive.
Still a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, I have no clue what's going to happen. So
Yeah.
I could use some clients.
Yeah. I'll help you. All right. Wow. Well, Tammy, I'm going to talk to you for a second. I think a lot of people think that in order to make a difference or to make an impact, that they have to go somewhere or they have to make some major shift or change in their lives to really do something that matters. What I love that you shared was there were some very simple questions you started just asking yourself. Can you just talk to most of us? I mean, most of us here, we're not going to necessarily pack our stuff up and maybe move to a different home or move, to Africa to do work there or whatever, you know, because sometimes we think it is those things. But what are some questions that you would really encourage to ask that you've asked?
So I think that's how I always felt, like the people that you saw that were making a big difference, they seemed like they were doing these really huge things. But hello.
Sorry. I'm just trying to give the, there we go. All
right. Thank you. The one thing that kept coming back, and it was in some of your sermons and then also some other leaders that I listened to, is what do you already have around you? What has God already given you? I think Scott's used the analogy, what's in your hands right now. Also, who's around you? Who, and I think about this community of people, you know, I'm very involved here and get to know a lot of you. And in doing so, you realize that you can make a difference. I can make a difference if I can do something simple like listening to somebody who's going through a really hard time, or if I'm able to help someone with a project that they're doing. Just simple things of really just being present, and then also just realizing that you can make a difference. It doesn't always take a huge undertaking. It can be something very simple that we all typically take for granted.
Yeah.
That, oh, well, they get that. And I think the biggest thing I've learned is that a lot of people don't have encouraging people in their life. They don't have people like the people in this room right now in this kind of community. And they're really, I think everybody is looking for that.
Yeah, gosh, that's a great point. I think, man, you know what I love, Tammy, is that I know that even where you're at right now, you feel like there's more. And you know, sometimes I think what happens is we get like almost little Polaroid snapshots that we don't always, you know, unfortunately, we'd love to have some HD video of what maybe that, whatever that thing is. But I think there's really something powerful about looking at where you're at right now and saying, am I making a difference where I am now? I really believe that there's something about being faithful with where you're at that will open the door for God to do even greater things through you. But the problem is sometimes we want to bypass the immediate because it's not as sexy or it's not as, you know, slick or, you know, whatever. We feel like, you know, that it's a good heart check. It really is. And so it's been awesome to watch you take these steps. And you said something about having good people around you. And that reminds me, Tony and Laura, something that I really have seen in you guys that's been very encouraging. I think you guys have heard me talk about this before, the importance of having good people around you who can speak into your life and who can affirm what you sense God is doing. And you guys have done that. And I think sometimes people make excuses. Well, I just don't have those people, or you know, how do you get that? You know, I've said before, like, we all need our personal board of directors in our lives. You guys have that now. You didn't always have it, though. Talk to us about that. What did that look like?
Initially, it looked like coming here to the Beta community and hooking up with a group of women and starting that process of who's going to be open, who's going to be honest, who's going to feed into me, who hopefully can I feed back into spiritually. And just from that, there was this core group that developed, and these women came together and let me spew at times. Or as you said, kind of just vomit, you know. It was kind of like...
Man, you need good people you can just vomit on sometimes.
Yes, you do. You need a good person that's going to clean you up afterwards. But these women started listening to me, let me bounce ideas off of them. We talked with Scott a couple of times and let him know where we were kind of in this mode, just what our thought processes were. And then we started talking with Caleb Looper, who's head of Triple Threat.
Oh, let me jump in real quick, though. Sorry, did I startle you?
A little.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Here's what's really awesome about these guys is that they just begin to explore because they weren't sure. They just knew. In fact, Laura and I have been talking the last couple of years. God has been doing open heart surgery on her.
Very much.
I mean, like diving deep in her pain and forcing her. And when I say forcing, it's like it's what God did. He brought you face to face with baggage, with deep stuff to work through, and it was not easy.
And he made me work through it because now I see where that pain was leading me into where I'm at.
Wow.
Because
yes.
What I had felt for so long is rejection, and where I'm at now is dealing with people who it's almost like society is rejected.
Yes.
It's like they're not existing because we've shut them down.
Yes.
We collectively as a society, not necessarily we.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we.
Well, but you had to get healthy. Like, you had to work through those things. So you had something healthy to bring there. And it's not an overnight thing, but it's taken time. But what's been great to watch is you've looked for opportunity. You didn't know what it was that God had for you. Initially, you thought, well, maybe it's going overseas.
Yes.
And so you begin to explore that. Now, here's what most people do, though, is they'll go, okay, maybe it's overseas. Oh, I could never do that. They don't even take the first step to explore that. You guys took a step, and all you did was you went to a meeting to learn more about it.
Yep.
And you, at some point, the light was green to take a step. Then the light turned
yellow.
And what does yellow mean?
Yellow means to hold up a little bit and ask some more questions.
That's right.
Explore a little bit more.
Ask questions. It doesn't mean it's not the right thing, but it means pause, ask questions. Well, and then eventually for that, the light turned red. Well, that was a little disappointing to you guys, I remember, but you didn't give up. You kept looking. And then another opportunity showed up, and the light was green. And there were some yellows along the way, but you explored those. You asked the questions. And now...
Now it's green. Now it's go, go, go.
Yes.
Now it's like, let's move. Let's motor.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I love that. And you guys have surrounded yourself with great people. And that is so key to do that. You know, it was never about asking someone, hey, would you be one of my personal board of directors, okay? No, it was about just begin to be. I mean, you'll never have good people around you if you don't first take a step to be around people. So get around people, and then you start to build trust, and you get to know people. And it's not about even trying to get approval of the masses. This is about getting it's about getting affirmations from the right people that God's brought around you. Man, I rely on that heavily in my own life. We talked a few weeks ago, because what that does is it helps us with our perspective, doesn't it, when you have the right people around you, because they tell you the truth. Sometimes the truth is hard to hear. But what I love about that is that it helps us to change the way we think. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and I received an email shortly after that talk from someone in our church, and her name's Kari Glenn. Kari, are you here somewhere? Where are you at? Stand up, Kari. Stand up. Right there. There's Kari. Hey, Kari. She sent me this email, and then I emailed her a couple days ago to say, hey, can I read your email this weekend? She never replied to me. And so, no, it's okay. I forgive you. But, no. So I didn't hear back from her, so I figured that was a yes. So I read it last night, and then she emailed me. So, yeah, you can read it. So thank you for forgiving me. I got this email. The subject line is this. Like, it's either spam when you get an email like this, or it's totally legit. The subject line was, it's about time I put my big girl pants on and grow up. Here's what she wrote. Kari wrote, I have spent much of my adult life wondering why good things happen to mean, hateful, and dishonest people. And even worse yet, why bad, terrible, and awful things happen to good people. I have seen people suffer through things I've never thought they deserved. I have seen pain and hurt. I have felt unappreciated, overlooked, underestimated, and unloved by people. During the last couple of weeks, I have felt especially sorry for myself, allowing unkind words to hurt my spirit, unacknowledged works to kill my drive, and unappreciated efforts having me question my purpose. This is so wrong. My pity party is ridiculous. My integrity, efforts, drive, determination, and ultimately love should never be based on what rewards or acknowledgments I receive or don't receive from others. It's profound. God did not place me here to gain people's love. Wow. He fully intended for me to love others. With this new epiphany comes new appreciation for those around me. I am here to love them, not to make them love me. And I've come to this conclusion. I need to put on my big girl pants and grow up. Life is not about me. It is not about being fair. I am attempting to raise children who are compassionate, giving, loving, and who show others God's love. Yet I'm having my own personal pity party regarding the injustice of life. What is wrong with me? What a hypocrite. I want to lead my children by modeling, not by simply saying something but not living that way myself. This led me to try to figure out a tangible ways to grow up, tangible ways to show others I love them. Listen, so good. I am going to make the month of May Random Acts of Kindness Month. Each day in May, I'm going to do a random act of kindness to a different person. This act may be to people I know or to people I don't know. It really doesn't matter. Some days the act may be anonymous, other days it may not. Some acts may cost money, most will not. There are two main reasons I'm filling you in on my plan. Number one, for accountability. My life is busy. I need people to occasionally ask if I've done my act for the day. Number two, to encourage others to join me. I love the vision that you start to cast. You're a great vision caster, Kari. You say here, can you imagine if 10 people decide to make May Random Acts of Kindness Month? There are 31 days in May. If 10 people are randomly kind to a different person each day of the month, then 310 people will feel loved. Imagine how important we could make others feel. Imagine taking a couple minutes of your day and thinking about someone else. Consider it. And even if you don't decide to do it, please pray for others who do make a commitment to love on someone else, especially for me as I attempt to leave my pity party behind, put my big girl pants on, and grow up. Dang, girl. Awesome. And so when I read that, I emailed her back and I said, you got to start up a Facebook page so that people can share their stories. And so you did that. And I'm going to put it up here because here, listen, it's still May, okay? And it's not too late. So I think, like, see how it says 41 likes? How many today? You're going to keep going? So listen, you need to, we all need to go there and like this page. And even if you are not going to commit to doing it daily, let it inspire you. Let the stories inspire you, okay? You might want to take a picture of this with your phone or write it down, facebook.com. I'm out of breath. Lord. Huh? Did I motor? Okay. I almost ripped my pants, but no, put that back up, man. Can somebody else talk just for a second? Let's have a song. R-A-O-K, 2012. We're going to put all the links to the blogs and stuff on our Facebook this week, so you can check it out. But that, what an inspiring email, an inspiring story, inspiring step that that Kari took. Laura, I want to quote something you said about, you know, this whole idea of changing our perspective. You said it so well. You said, I may not be the most educated or the best at something, but I have a heart to extend grace to others, and to keep that silent would be a waste. You hit the nail on the head. I think sometimes we get so focused on what we don't have, we get so focused on our weaknesses, that we miss what we do have to bring. And I'm going to tell you, Laura, you have exactly what you said. You have a heart to extend grace to others, which is really a reflection of what God has done in your life. And yeah.
He did it in a big way when I got baptized. It was time to let go and move on. And then a year ago, he like really kicked it open and said, now.
Yes.
Now.
You left a lot of stuff on the bottom of that pool,
I
didn't you?
I left a huge amount of stuff. I'm sorry about anybody that came after me. I'm really sorry. But it was.
Oh, man. Well, I want to talk just for a second about, I want to talk to you, Joy. I want to talk about pain. We kind of hit on it a few minutes ago, but I think, Joy, you are a great example of God using what we might consider to be weakness. I know that hasn't been easy, but you've really shown us courage. And I know that there's some people here today who just hearing about your willingness to embrace and to let God use this, I know it's going to inspire some people here today. Can you talk about that for a second? Let me quote you, and then you can quote whatever you want to quote. You said this. This is so good. Oh my gosh, it's so true. We are all interested in hearing about pain in some weird way, but most of us hide from our own. Wow. I'm on a journey right now where I'm learning not to hide from my pain. It's not easy for me because I like to move on. I'm a very positive person. But God's teaching me how to sit and to experience my pain. You're doing that. Can you just expound on that a little bit?
Sure. Well, one of the things that I don't think I mentioned at the beginning that Ben and I took, one of the steps we took was to sell our house in Plainfield where there was nothing to walk to and move downtown Naperville where I can run errands with my girls. I can there's just a lot of opportunities opened up. They can be in activities that I can take them to now at the Park District. I mean, just a ton of things. It's like I can breathe again and don't have to schedule rides everywhere, be stuck at home all the time. And I mean, that was just obviously, you know, something physical and something that would put us in a better place, you know, physically and but
that was a hard step, right? Because of what that meant, you were saying.
Yeah, we gave up a lot. We had to. I mean, we cut our square footage in half. We downsized a ton. You know, we minimized. We just. I mean, it was definitely even going through the sale of our house. Everything was difficult with the whole process. But definitely worth it. But I feel like if it was only that step, I feel like I would still end up being as miserable as I was, because I think there were steps that I had to take emotionally to really deal with pain, not just to get into this new place where, oh, now I can walk and act like every other mom, nothing's wrong with me. You know, like I had to go through counseling. I had to, I think a lot through my writing, through blogging, and just being open and honest about everything that I was dealing with, sharing that with others. I mean, I didn't have these grand hopes of, you know, a million people in the world reading my blog. I really just wrote it for, you know, write it for my friends and my family, and even to see God use that and just get an email from, you know, my uncle or my twin sister who's really down right now, and her mentioning how the only thing keeping her going right now is reading my blog posts. I mean, that's why, you know, I would do that. Like, I feel like if we go through pain and we hide from it and we don't deal with it, then God can never do anything with it. He can never use it for its intended purpose. So,
wow. You, I don't know if we mentioned this, your sister, you have a twin sister who also has the same condition. And this has been a journey that you guys have kind of walked through together, and yet not easy. But again, thank you for taking the steps you've taken. You guys have to check out her blog. It's doublevisionblog.com. Joy writes really honest, like she gets a very honest way of writing. I mean, there's, like I've read some stuff on her blog that I was like, holy crap, I can't believe you wrote that. and so, but it's very inspiring. And so I would encourage you to take some time to do that. Can we talk just real quick? We don't have a lot more time, but I want to hit fear, because fear is a huge one. Fear tells us so much, so many lies, doesn't it? Fear tells us, you know, you don't have anything worth saying. You know, some of you even, like, you're thinking you should start a blog or you should start writing, but your fear tells you, who do you think you are? You're a fraud. You know, you think you have something worth saying. That's fear. You know, your story doesn't matter. That's fear. You guys have navigated and continue to navigate through fear. I deal with fear all the time. And Rick, you said something really profound, man, about biking that relates so well to fear. Can you share that with us?
Sure. Most of my life I've been on bikes of some kind, but I've always been on the pavement, paved trails, roads.
Hold that real close.
Sorry. For some reason, last November, I decided to, with my new mountain bike, take it to Sewiki Park in the south part of Oswego. And if you've ever been there, you know, it's like the jungle. It's narrow. It's about one bike width wide. And it's pretty scary for a novice on a mountain bike. I had quite a few holy crap moments. dumped the bike a couple of times, got back up, brushed myself off, and hopped back on. But as I progressed through the system of trails, I realized that what was holding me back was my hesitancy, my tentativeness, because a lot of the obstacles, a lot of the hills, the log climbs, it requires speed and momentum, and if you're hanging on to the brakes, you're not going to clear these obstacles.
That's good. That's profound, man.
One of the cool things about this trail system is that all the trails have been named. They're all different. Some are fairly flat, some twist and turn. One has a name, it's Vertical Velocity, and it's called that for a reason.
AKA, the Hill of Death. Hopefully not, I'm just saying.
Not yet. but it's one of those things where if you hold on to the brakes on the way down this steep drop, you will not climb the other side because it's an equally as steep climb on the other side. So at some point, after doing this a couple of times and realized I was just banging my head against a brick wall, I just said, let go of the brakes.
Well, this has had spiritual implications for you as well.
Absolutely. Scott and I had a conversation last year just before barbecue and baptism, and I vaguely remember him saying something to me to the effect of, at some point in your life, you just have to take your foot off the brake. And it hit me hard, especially last night, and then thinking about all these things that I'm doing on my bike and trying to step outside my comfort zone, it has a lot of basis in faith. And at some point, you got to let go of the brakes.
Yeah, and you're learning to do that. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
Fear's tough. Tom, you said something to me that I thought was really good. You said, you know, you had all these reasons why not to take a step. And I loved even how practical it was. You said, you know, I've got a good company, the economy is no good, and you said, will anyone think it's cool? Sometimes we even think, right? I mean, we really wonder, like, is this just downright stupid? Are people going to think I'm a moron for doing this? But you push through that fear. Do you still deal with fear? Is fear still in front of you?
Yeah, every day. I have those moments of what in the world have I done and where's this going? But I got to the point that I became more afraid of not living to who I thought I really was. Mm. And I felt I was burying the real Tom through a lot of excuses. And then there were little moments of encouragement along the way, you know, through the fear. I mean, when you guys ordered shirts, that was my first order. And I was like, yes, you know, and then somebody I didn't know ordered a wristband, and then somebody
and I don't know them.
It's really cool. Yeah. And then I'd get a text from somebody like Adam who'd just go, "Dude, you're doing great. Stay the course, and keep going. You know, motor. I had to live my own message there. And
it's true.
And but fear is a big part of it. And I think the biggest thing that scared me was there's a song, and I won't quote a lot of it, but it. One of the lines was, I'm afraid I'm losing the ones that I hold dear. And the song was about our fears. And I had seen that in my own life, that I just felt I was getting further away from my wife. I was getting further away from my kids because I wasn't the real Tom anymore.
Wow.
And so the fear of what I was becoming was greater than if we lose it all.
Wow. Welcome to you 2.0, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Tony. Is there fear?
Yes, there's always fear. We're afraid to do this, but we're more afraid not to do this. And I think about 6 weeks before we decided to really move in, I was leaving Triple Threat, and I was driving down past her house, and there was four or five squad cars, and they had pulled these couple young fellas over, and they were arresting them, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. This is going to be part of the neighborhood, and I've never lived in an environment like that before, so it's definitely fear, but...
And you said laying in bed, even, like, the first night?
The first night we were there, we were laying in bed, and we were like, what are we doing? Are we crazy? You know, and probably once today still, we'll say, what are we doing?
Well, I believe, Laura, if I can quote you, it's all right. You said, quote, it's scary as hell is what it is. I just wonder, like, when's the last time you've had that feeling because you've taken a step? Tony, you said something. You said your greater fear is what?
Our greater fear is not doing this because I don't want to look back and say that I had an opportunity to maybe to help some people, maybe change a few people's lives, and my fear stopped me from doing that. So my greatest fear is not doing this.
Wow. Wow. Man. I can't tell you guys how proud of you I am. I know there's many others of you that could have easily been a part of this conversation. I want to close by just asking you to share, if you were to offer one word or a sentence, not two or three, okay? Because we don't have time, but just a word or a sentence to people on how to step into version 2.0 of their lives. What would that be? Let's start with you, Tom.
Motor.
Good.
If you embrace who you are and the way that God made you, He'll open your eyes to an outward focus.
Good.
believe that your voice matters.
Let go of the brakes.
We're entitled to help people.
That's good.
When God's knocking, open the door.
Wow. You know what, let's say a huge thank you to these guys for taking some time to share. Yeah.